Saint Mark.
Glory to thee, O Lord, glory to thee.
At that time, Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went into boldly Pilate and craved the body of Jesus. And Pilate marveled if he were already dead. And calling unto him the centurion, he asked him whether he had been any while dead. And when he knew it of the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph. And he bought fine linen, and took him down, and wrapped him in the linen, and laid him in a sepulcher which was hewn out of a rock, and rolled a stone under the door of the sepulcher. And Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of Joseph, beheld where he was laid. And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the great stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he said unto them, Be not affrighted, ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen, he is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter, that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, as he said unto you. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre. For they trembled and were amazed, neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid.
Glory to thee, O Lord, glory to thee.
Please be seated. Christ is risen.
He is risen.
Christos Voskresia.
Vaisnu.
Anton, help us. Vaisnu Voskresia. Christos Anesti. God bless each and every one of you. You'll notice that this time of the year the cross is turned around. Normally when we hold the cross, it shows that Jesus is on the cross, but now we have him arisen. May the Lord show us these little details and teach us how the church educates us about the resurrection. Today, we join three women on a journey. A journey to a tomb. These were holy women. And they were going to the place of the burial of a holy person. They went to this tomb, this place of burial, which is the penultimate symbol of death. They went to a place where they didn't expect to see anything different than they would have seen with any other person that died. This place that they were heading towards, this place that we should join them in the journey today, is the place where all of life's cares, all of life's joys, all of the pains of life, and all of our aspirations end. The tomb. We do well to enter into this moment with these women and see somehow what our perspective of death should be based on what they found there. Something should change in our perspective when we join them on our trip to this tomb. Something about this special, unique journey that they took to a tomb that was like every other tomb. Our view of the mystery of death today should change because of what happened 2,000 years ago. While death still remains truly a mystery, we should have a way to look at it with hope now, not just as finality.
I think when we think of death, we all look at it like a black cloud. We don't really know much about what it is like to die. We haven't experienced it. We've watched other people die, perhaps very closely. But as to what that journey really is, it's a mystery. It still remains a mystery. It's a fearful thing, since we don't understand really what happens when we die. What happens? We don't know. What does it feel like? We have dim foreshadowings from some holy people that have had visions of what happens. But by and large, the moment of death is truly a mystery. And today, we will not clear up that mystery. It still will remain a mystery. But what they saw at the tomb will clear up something about what our destiny is beyond death. And that's what we should focus on. Joseph of Arimathea was a man, it says, a counselor. He was a mighty man among the Jews. He was like a Supreme Court justice in a day when religion was more than it is today. He sat in a high seat in the Jewish nation. But it says about him that he was honorable and that he waited for the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? That is part of the mystery of death, truly. What is the kingdom of God? When Jesus walked, he told people that the kingdom of God was within them. But when there is no more within, what happens to the kingdom of God? Does it end? Truly, even holy people that lived before this day of this journey to this dark tomb didn't understand really too much, even though they'd walked with the Lord perhaps, about what was beyond death. Joseph waited, but like all those in the Old Testament that came before him, all the great fathers and patriarchs that we read about, though they knew God, and they knew that God was, and that God was beyond death, and that God was beyond sight, they still understood very little about what this kingdom of God looked like and what, more importantly, to us as individuals, we look like in the kingdom. And so Joseph, it says, waited. And when the time was right, he besought of Pilate the body of Jesus. And he took it down, as we know, and he took it and laid it in a new stone tomb. A dark, cold tomb. That's where he laid it. Two women, the two Marys, followed and saw where he laid them, where the Lord had been laid by Joseph. And so it was, when the Sabbath was passed, they knew where to go. But on that day when Joseph carried the Lord to that tomb, all had seen Jesus die, just like other men. Truly there were signs and wonders, yes, the earthquake, the veil in the temple being rent, people arising, but still, he was being carried to a tomb. And so, he died, just like everyone else in history. They saw this lifeless body inside the mystery of death, laid in that tomb. They'd beheld where it was. They'd followed Joseph. They wanted to know where he was. But they saw a man there, just like every single other man. Later, a day or so later in time, they wanted to go anoint the body of Jesus. The body of a man that had died. A body of their friend. A body of someone that was special. A body of one that they'd called Lord. But they really didn't understand what that meant. They went to a tomb, almost like we'd go to any tomb. They went to this tomb expecting to anoint a body of someone that had died, someone that lay in that mystery of death. When they got to the tomb, the events at the tomb changed all of history. Everything changes based on what they found at this tomb. This resurrection of Christ changes everything. It doesn't clear up all the details of what happens when someone dies, but it clears up something about what our destiny is and what the kingdom of heaven is like. Just as in his birth, this miraculous resurrection was announced by angels. Truly, it's a special event. While his death might have been like others, his bodily functions ceased and they placed him in a tomb, what happens next is unlike anything else. And so just like the angels shouted glory to God in the highest on the night of his birth, so it was on the day of his resurrection, the angels were at the tomb. They rolled away the stone. The stone miraculously rolled away. That stone that sealed the death of every single person from the beginning of time to that moment in a tomb was sealed forever, except for a miraculous intervention of divine authority and divine power. Mortality. Mortality was undone by what happened that day at the tomb. Certainly, they were afraid. They were afraid for a lot of reasons. They were afraid because they didn't understand what had happened to the body of Jesus. Not understanding that someone could arise from the dead. They thought his body had been stolen, perhaps, or some other thing had happened. They were fearful that perhaps their very lives would be in danger from visiting where the tomb was empty. They were afraid because they didn't understand anything about the resurrection. They understood not that someone could rise from the dead. They understood not that the kingdom of God contains individuals that are recognizable to one another. They understood nothing about what their long-term eternal destiny really was. And so the angel says, don't be afraid. Be not afraid. He is risen. He wasn't stolen. He's not here. Behold the place where he lay. He's gone, but he wasn't stolen. He's risen from the dead. He is going before you, it says, into Galilee. You see, Jesus was alive. He was mobile. He was sentient. Death of the body was not the end of it all. It wasn't the end of life. It was a change. But Jesus was alive, and he could go before them to a place called Galilee. He was existing in a changed way, but he still was Jesus. And he was mobile, and he could move around, and he could think, and he could act, and he could do things. There was something about the other side of death that involved the person, Jesus. And so they were given the admonition to go, these trembling women, to go and become the apostles to the apostles. The angel said, go tell Peter, great Peter, and go tell the others that he's risen, and what you've seen this day and what you've heard from us is that Jesus Christ is alive. Their fear, as they trembled and left, it says they were still amazed. We'd all be amazed if we encountered what's beyond this world. But we should be amazed in a different way than they were. We should be amazed in the sense that God could do such a thing for us. Not that he could do it, but that he would do it for us. And so they left trembling, they left amazed, but they went forth. And they were sent to declare the resurrection of Christ. Where fear and affrighted people were, there came faith, there came hope, there came great power to those that believed this message of the resurrection of Christ. Through the years that followed, the apostles wrote many things about the future kingdom. Paul said that at some point the Lord would descend himself from heaven with a shout to the angels and the archangels, and that all the dead in Christ would rise, and that we should be like him, and that we would see him as he is, saying that what they saw that day and in the days that followed shortly after his resurrection was something similar to the state which waited us in eternity beyond the mystery of death. What's changed after this day is our view of death. We now know that the kingdom of God is not centered on this life, but on a life where bodies are different, where souls and bodies have an identification, where at the last trump, the body and the soul are united. It's a place where we see death as a doorway to real, eternal life. And the darkness of the tomb, with its hopelessness and its mystery and its ending of physical life, is no longer the end. Now, when we look at death as Christians, we should look at death as the doorway, the pathway to eternal life, and know that because he lives, we too can have life, a life that goes forever beyond the tomb. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.